Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr's message is, What Are We Doing Here? Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the Sanctuary Choir with The Sure Foundation.
The day. Well, we are in the midst of an exciting day and an exciting season in the life of our church. You know, we come together today to do something that we have not done in more than three decades here at St. Matthew's Baptist Church. We break ground on a new building, on an extension to our children's building. And this may be the first time that we've done this in a long time, but it's not the first time for us as a church. In 1935, we laid the cornerstone on the very first sanctuary of our church. I think David had just come on board then, but at the corner of Willis and Breckenridge. In 1948, we came over to this site and broke ground on a brand new sanctuary for the glory of God. In 1954, we began work on a new education space. In 1978, we broke ground on more education space and a new Christian activity center. And then after a fire destroyed our sanctuary and parts of our buildings, we rebuilt on this site, and this sanctuary opened in 1985. We worshiped here for the first time. So we have done this before, and some of you were here for one or more of those events. Others of us have come along more recently, and we are the beneficiaries of all of your work and your prayer and your sacrifice. But together, we come here today to begin a new chapter in our journey together, to undertake the largest renovation project in our church's history. Now, to prepare us for this, to think a little bit about it, I want us to look at the Old Testament today, to the book of Nehemiah. You can find that in the Old Testament. If you're if you didn't bring a Bible with you today, grab one of the blue worship Bibles out of the pew rack in front of you, and you'll find Nehemiah's story beginning on page 342. Nehemiah was living in Babylon. He was most likely the descendant of some of the folks who were taken from Jerusalem. They were taken captive when the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and largely destroyed the city. They were taken captive to Babylon, where they lived in exile for some 70 years. And after those 7 decades in exile, a door opened for them to begin to return to Jerusalem and to begin rebuilding the city. Now, Nehemiah was living in Babylon. He was serving as cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, who was king of Persia, but also at that point was ruler of Babylon. And so Nehemiah had access to the king, and he also had influence in the king's court. As the book of Nehemiah opens, one of Nehemiah's brothers, Hanani, returned from Jerusalem. He had been there, and he brought back what was not a good report. He said, those who survived the exile, in verse 3, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah is heartbroken by what he hears. Even though he probably has never been to Jerusalem, it's still his homeland. It's still what he considers to be his home. And he's heartbroken by this news. And in verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Before Nehemiah did anything else, he prayed. Before he developed a plan or took action, he began by praying, because there wasn't a great deal that he could do apart from God's power. And he needed God's direction and God's power to carry out God's purpose. Now, this journey that we're on together that's brought us to this point began a few years ago in prayer. Our growing teams ask us to pray that God would speak to all of us about the direction of our church's future. And then they invited us into listening sessions where we came and we shared with them what it was that we sensed God was saying about the future of our church. As our master planning team went into the process of working on what that would look like and how that might play out in regard to a plan, we continued to pray together and to talk together about the Lord's leadership in our lives. And even a year ago, when we began the Reimagine effort, our capital stewardship effort, we began it by asking you to pray, Lord, what do you want to do through me to carry out your will for our church? And so, like Nehemiah, before we did anything, we first prayed. And then, like Nehemiah, after we prayed, we felt God leading us toward a plan. We felt God was leading us to do something. Now for Nehemiah, he had to develop a plan first to go to King Artaxerxes and ask permission and somehow convince the king that the king needed to release him to be able to go back to Jerusalem and participate in the process of rebuilding the city. And then he had to develop a plan once he arrived in Jerusalem of how to approach the work. And the Bible tells us that he spent several days and nights walking around the city, examining the condition of it, before he came to the conclusion that the work must start by rebuilding the walls. Well, for some time, we've known that our facilities needed attention. They've served us wonderfully. They served us well for some time. But it's been 30 years since the newest of them were built. And we needed some attention paid to them in time. And so we put together a team to begin thinking about that. I mean, we knew, for example, that the lighting system in here had to be replaced. You remember that? We inherited this, our previous lighting system. It was donated to us, and it was 10 years old, I believe, when we got it. And it did a great job for a long time in here. But over time, it began to break down, and the company who made it had gone out of business. And so finding replacement pieces and parts was very difficult and very expensive. And so you might remember that we came together in the fall of 2014 and decided to replace it. Many of you participated in the special gift through Light Up St. Matthew's, if you remember. And we replaced it with this incredible LED system that's not only more efficient, but also is greatly effective in helping us set a mood for worship. The roof of our sanctuary leaked from 1985, when this building was built. And for a long time, we tried to figure out how to fix it. In fact, at one point, the church took legal action to try to get the roof repaired. And yet, it continued to leak. And finally, in 2015, we replaced it. Stopping the leaks and protecting the structure of this building. And we were able to do that because over the last several years, our giving has exceeded our expenses, and we were able to build up a surplus to make those things happen. But still, so much more needed to be done. And we didn't want to wait an extended period of time to tackle these things one project at a time. And so we put together a team to think about it, and they decided that before work began, we really needed to take a step back and consider what it is we wanted to do through these buildings, through these facilities. And so we developed a master plan. We developed the action steps that you see on the boards outside, the things that we've been working toward implementing over the last year and a half. And so we wanted to start, instead of the question what, we wanted to start with the question why. Instead of what do we need to do, why are we doing it? And so we spent a good bit of time praying and thinking and dreaming about that. And we developed a plan. And then the next thing we learned from Nehemiah is that once you pray and you feel the Lord leading you in a direction, and then you've developed a plan, you have to take action. And I think this is where a lot of plans for our own lives, for our families, for our organizations, and for churches break down. We fail to achieve them, not because of a lack of intention, but because of a lack of action. We have great intentions, we just don't carry them out. And so we needed to take action. And we see how Nehemiah did that. He pulled the people together and explained to them the situation. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, "Then I said to them," Nehemiah, now he had spent time in prayer. He had walked around and he'd taken stock of the condition of the city. In Nehemiah 2:17, he was finally ready to call the people to action. He said, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." It was a call to action. Everybody could see that the city was in ruins. This wasn't new information. But Nehemiah had to stand up and say, now is the time to act. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. And now we're going to take action. Well, together, we sense the Lord's leadership in ministry and in future planning. We planned for a long time how to move forward in both, but then we had to take action. We had to take the next step forward, and it was a step of sacrifice. We entered into a capital stewardship campaign for the very first time in since the late 1980s, almost 30 years since we did our last one. And we called it Reimagine. It was a time to reimagine what our future could be like as the Lord led us forward. And our Reimagine campaign not only challenged us financially, but for many of us, it was a great spiritual challenge as well. As we continue to pray, and some of us continue to pray, and I hope you continue to pray, Lord, what do you want to do through me to carry out your will for our church? And then our reimagining facilities team went to work. As they had an idea of what it was that we had committed to do financially over the next 3 years, what we might be able to do with our facilities. And so we began working as a team to think about what these facilities might look like moving forward. And we engaged architects and designers who have spent lots of hours with us in meetings and in designing what this facility is going to be. And I hope you're getting a sense of how many people it's taken just to get this far. I mean, this is way more than any one person or even a small group of people could have ever done. It's taken all of us just to get this far. It reminded me, I read this week something from David Lewis about the building of Gothic churches during the Middle Ages. And he said that cathedrals, they were usually built in the centers of towns. And so what had to happen in order for a church to be built was a quarry had to be established, somewhere that you could get the stone for the construction. And those quarries were located sometimes several miles outside the city. And you had the challenge then of how do we transport all of these stones into the middle of town where we can build this cathedral. And so he said sometimes what would happen is that the people would line up from the quarry to the building site and they would hand those stones one to the other all the way back to town. It's taken all of us and the rest of us to pray and to seek the Lord and to give faithfully. And so we prayed and we felt the Lord's leadership and we planned and sought the Lord's direction. And then we took action. And that's what's brought us to this point. And we still got a long way to go in this journey together. And as we move forward, we anticipate that there are going to be some challenges along the way. We know that because even when we feel led by the Lord to do something, we're still going to face challenges along the way. That was what Nehemiah, that was his experience as well. Work started on rebuilding the walls in chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah. And everything was going great. But then in chapter 4, they kind of hit a wall, so to speak. They began to experience the opposition they were experiencing from the outside began to really ramp up. And the people who are working on the project began to be discouraged and they were tiring. So in Nehemiah 4:10, we read, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild this wall.'" And so we know that in any process, in any plan, executing a plan, we're going to experience challenges. Something's going to cost more than we thought it was going to cost. Something's going to take longer than we thought it was going to take. Why are we doing this? I mean, couldn't we just leave well enough alone? These facilities have been fine for 30 years. They're not falling apart. Why don't we just leave well enough alone? Well, I'm sure those questions were asked of Nehemiah as well. After all, the people rebuilding the city, most of them had never seen him before. They didn't grow up there. So it wasn't their home. But they knew inside it was a home for them. And if you keep reading through Nehemiah, through the book of Nehemiah, as they overcome the challenges, finally in chapter 7, the project is completed. And people were finally able to return to Jerusalem once again, to return to their homeland and live. And Nehemiah did this project. He led this project. He went through the inconvenience and the challenge and the sacrifice of it, not for himself, not so his name would be great, and even not for the workers. He did it for the glory of God, but he also did it. They also carried out this project for the sake of everyone who wasn't living there so that people could return to Jerusalem again to worship God. So why are we doing this? It's not for me. I don't need my name on a single thing. You know, really, it's not even for us. As much as we're going to enjoy these refreshed facilities and living in them, you know why we're really doing this? We're doing this for all of them. Everybody in these neighborhoods, everybody in our community who needs a place where they can find and follow Jesus. We need to make these facilities more welcoming, more warm, so that we can welcome people in. We're doing this for all of the families in our community. Let me introduce you to somebody. Sorry, my hands are cold, dude. This is Nathan Baird. You saw him in the video. He's kind of one of the stars. This is Nathan. His mom are Justin and Becky. They're important, but they're not the point of this. This is him. This is Nathan. You want to know why we're doing this? We're doing this because Nathan is 3 months old, and Nathan is going to grow up in a world that you and I aren't familiar with. We're doing this because as he grows up, Nathan is going to, and his generation are going to face challenges that we can't even imagine. They're going to experience technological advances that we can't even dream of. Now, will Nathan find a faith that will enable him to navigate all of life's challenges? I hope so. I know his mom and dad and his grandparents are praying that he does. But guys, there are kids like Nathan all over our community. There are families like Nathan's who need a church like ours to live into our vision that we will become a vibrant faith community, demonstrating the love of Christ, becoming vital to the life and the hope of our city. And this is why we're doing this. We're doing this for Nathan. And by God's help, with God's strength, we will do it together.
You've been listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your personal relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes at 3515 Grandview Avenue. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages starts at 9:15 and worship in the sanctuary at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with God.